Previously on Dakota Town Hall.
If I'm a caterer and I, you know, do catering for the Lions Club, and I talk about online how I dislike about 50% of the Lions Club all the time, then the Lions Club is probably not going to want to have me back.
I wouldn't. Hold on a second. It ain't 50%. It's about 18%. It's the same 18% we're yipping about in this entire episode.
It's probably about 30%.
Welcome to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly political podcast.
This time, the call's coming from inside the house. Welcome back to South Dakota's most listened to political podcast, I guess, from Murdoch in the middle and Jake in the middle. We're broadcasting from Lee Schoenbeck's office, and welcome to Dakota Town Hall.
We're back, President Pro Tem's office, and we were starting to record, and we were kind of figuring out our sound, and it was all sounding good, right? And we're like, we need to pull someone in quick. We just looked, opened the door, stuck our heads out, and there is Majority Whip, David Wheeler. Senator, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. First time on the show.
It is.
Welcome to it. Thanks for joining us today. What's it like having an office across from Senior Schoenbeck?
No, it's great. Having the President Pro Tem across from your office, you get to see a lot of people come in and out. You get to see who's coming in the meetings, and you get a little bit of ear what's going on. Usually, it's
I
a
feel
good
like
time.
You get yelled at a lot.
I do. That is generally the nature.
You know, you can get.
It's generally the nature of how things go, especially when he's not happy with some bill I'm working on, or if I'm working against him on something. I hear that a lot coming across the hall. Or across the office way here. But,
so you're saying it's all sunshine? There's not no bad parts?
You know, yeah, it's all sunshine.
All sunshine? You mentioned something about country music.
So Lee loves to blare country music at random times.
I like that.
Usually it's in the afternoon, like after we're done with session, and I'm working in here doing some work on something, and he being here working on something, all of a sudden just this country music starts blaring out of his office. Now, I got his song selections are good.
Centerfield by Alabama is the first one usually.
Well,
let's get some artists. Who are we?
Oh man, I'm not gonna be able to get those for you. You probably should ask.
Maybe the songs. Give me the what's coming out of the office? Stuff you know or stuff
I know.
You
I know his playlist. Plays the cabin. It's the same playlist every single time.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Such as I'm just interested.
Centerfield by Alabama is a big one on there.
I thought Centerfield was Jay Giles' band.
Is it Jay Giles' band?
Yeah.
Centerfield by Jay Giles,
okay.
Man. There's some Alabama in there.
I can see that.
There's some Zac Brown band.
A little cooler than I thought it'd get.
You know, it's not really like, it's not like Toby Keith or anything like that.
It'd be like Merle, Willie.
It's more pop country.
It is, okay. It is, yeah. My mom is heavily inspired that playlist, I believe.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it's just strange, and then he plays it at an abnormally loud level.
He's going deaf, probably. That's the issue.
And so it's not like I'm enjoying this music in my office. It's like everybody's going to enjoy this music.
Whether you want to or not.
That is correct. And one time it was also in the morning, like before session. I was here before committee, and then he was blaring it then. It wasn't just an afternoon thing.
I don't see a speaker in here.
I don't know what he's... I think it's there.
There it is. There's a speaker. Okay.
So it's a strange thing. I would never have picked him... for that type of a musical selection.
What would you have guessed? You think like Katy Perry?
Teddy Roosevelt audiobooks.
Yeah.
Audiobooks about the Kennedy family or whatever he's reading.
Yeah, that's correct.
So, David, besides, you know, dealing with my dad on a day-to-day basis, what else is going on with you and the...
What's it like being Majority Whip this year?
You know, it's good.
First of all, does everybody know what the Majority Whip... I assume listeners of this podcast are insane politics people, right? But just in case... You don't know what the Majority Whip is or does.
Yep. So I one of the whips for the Senate Republican caucus, and I'm in charge of a small group of senators, and we do breakout groups, and often talk about either bills coming up. Mostly we focus on appropriations. It's time to discuss bills, trying to help discuss priorities. And it's my job as whip to be kind of the connection between the leadership and the members.
To move the sausage through the machine.
That's what it is. To get their feedback from members up to leadership. And when leadership needs some things, messages shared, We do that too, often on one-on-one conversations. You know, we don't do a lot of hard whipping like you might out see in D.C.
Like not vote whipping, exactly.
Correct. Yeah, we very rarely do we go out there and say, hey, we need you to vote this way. We just don't do that in the South Dakota legislature. It's much more of a, this is a high priority. Oh, right. We'd like to see you on this side.
Okay. Now that everybody said the politically correct answers. Although, whipping the Senate's a lot easier.
And you're not the only whip, right? There's also...
There's four of us four. Here on the Senate side. And the House has five.
The House has five. The
House needs eight.
They do.
It's surprising, only five. You know, you think it'd be eight. You know,
I think it is actually just, they have double the number of members in the House, but only one more whip.
So what's been the bills that have been the hardest to push through this year?
Oh, well, we just had the pipeline bill yesterday.
That's going to be
A number one in terms of big contentious bills for the session.
Things aren't moving the pipeline well there, are they?
I mean, seem to be a little bit stuck in the pipe.
Stuck in the pipe, that's what I was going for, yeah.
I mean, there's nice phrases you're using there, but the bills are actually doing pretty well. I mean, Leader Mortensen and Leader Crabtree have been working together to put together a package of bills on the subject.
It got through the Senate yesterday, right?
So the two House bills are already past the House.
Okay.
The Senate bill, Leader Crabtree's bill, Senate Bill 201, passed the Senate yesterday. And so those will flip chambers now, and we'll...
Round two.
Yep, start round two on each of them. So...
I imagine 201, the third attempt this session, correct?
No. That's the first time.
I know. That's the first time this session. I'm going to 213. What did I say?
201.
So 213, though, had been a hard bill also to get votes behind.
Which one was that?
Yeah. That's the convention. That's the convention bill.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, sure. Yes. So it was Senate Bill 13 on this side.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
There we go. So that was a contentious debate. It is a... contentious issue, especially among the Republican Party, mm-hmm. as to how we organize our convention or hold primaries.
It is the issue defining... The Republican Party can't redefine itself until they figure out this issue, I believe.
And you have one of the largest opponents of it in the Senate, in Senator Wick, I would say.
Correct. Yeah, as state party chair, he is representing the party and definitely the state central committee and the state executive board are opposed to it. Because it does take away power from the state convention.
Of course.
And so it's natural that they would oppose that. And it was a tough bill. It was a tough, contentious issue on our side. It's been over in the House. They've had a couple debates on it. We're going to send this one over to them. They're going to debate it again and see what happens with it.
So as we're recording, it's the Thursday around noonish. Where does this issue head in the next few days from the whip's perspective?
Well, at this point, it's all in the House's hands. And so it's up
God,
to...
That's so nice when the Senate gets to say that, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. That's exactly right.
House's fault now.
Oh, you know, you should respond to Representative Mortensen said that we're giving him a little grief because the House can be a little more Wild Wild West over there.
Yeah, that's right. That's
passionate
right.
voices, I
yeah,
think he said.
Passionate voices. He made a little quip, though, that you guys let the Democrats' tax bill get down to the Senate floor. Any response to that?
Was
it the property tax one? What was the tax?
Was that the 1%? Was that the...
I should have come with my facts.
Yeah.
Was it food repeal?
Yeah. Was it food tax
repeal?
It's food tax. Because the Democrats would say that was also Kristi Noem's.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see what you're doing now.
Well, this is not
No, that's
me.
What I'm doing.
This is House, Majority Leader Will Mortensen throwing a little shade towards the Senate.
Yes, yes.
Maybe Mort's perspective of the Senate being the well-oiled Schoenbeck machine, perhaps it isn't.
Well, hey, you know what? Committees do their jobs. I think you'll see that the record on that one, the Senate, I think roundly. I wouldn't say maybe roundly. I'd have to go check the score on that one. Because there was support last year in the Senate for the
sure.
tax repeal.
Yep.
I mean, it is supported by Republicans and Democrats. It's but obviously last year when we had all the sales tax debates, what won out was the reduction in the general sales tax, and so the Senate stuck with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where our position will be for the near future.
Well, no doubt the committees are working well. We had the shortest ever.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Shortest ever
crossover
day.
Going pretty smooth. You guys were at the... Everybody was at Bob's by five.
Right? The hopscotch was popping.
Nobody's going to the hopscotch. Bob's maybe.
Bob's maybe. Bob's. Bob's maybe today.
Yes, it is because we started out the gate faster, and all throughout the session, we've been having full committee hearings. We've been getting bills through the process. Committees are doing their jobs. You know, they're killing the bills that aren't ready to come to the floor. And that means that our floor calendars are shorter, and that allows us to spend more time on the ones that get to the floor. So you have more time to discuss and debate, and you're not trying to smash a bunch of bills into one evening.
So, District 22, are you up for an election this year?
Oh, we all are.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay.
All 105 of us are up for election every 2 years.
And you're running again, right?
Yep. I'm running for re-election. I put my announcement out there.
You have made our new candidate roundup.
I was a new candidate roundup. That's correct.
Did we say anything stupid? So when you see these guys in person, you got to make sure you didn't.
Man, okay, so sorry, quick pause. Walking through the Capitol today, I was like, ooh, they'd say some things about you that probably like.
That's good for you. It's good for you to learn that.
Well, you know, I mean, there's one certain senator that I contacted with twice that not a huge fan of me or my father. That,
Jake,
you know,
you just have to be like me and not care.
Well, you know. But anyway, were we nice enough to you?
Oh, absolutely. Austin Goss made a couple comments about me and the fact that so far I've not yet had an opponent.
Oh, yes, wow. That's right. So that will change. You have
No one's announced. Obviously, the petition period is still open. I'm
30 days and counting.
Ready, you know, as a elected official, always got to be ready for an election. Can't take anything for granted. And so
Murdoch is here. They got to dig him out of the dirt to get him out of
it. I mean, wouldn't think so. It's not like it's District 35. It's, you know what I mean? You think you're right. Not that we want you to have competition.
competition is healthy for democracy.
Okay.
Good. Perfect answer.
Best burger?
So I have been dreading this particular question because I don't often order burgers at restaurants. I tend to like a Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, where's the best one here?
You know, I don't.
Let's talk sandwiches.
But I would say that we have a burger battle going on right now. In Huron, they started one up too because everybody else is doing it these days.
Well, you mean Sioux Falls and Jets? Everyone follows Sioux Falls.
Yeah, okay.
All right, back off. Calm down.
And they've got, you know, Ryan's Hanger had a pretty darn good.
Ryan's Hanger. Okay.
Yep, that's the restaurant there. Used to be at the airport.
I was going to ask, is it like airport?
That makes less sense. It was called the Hanger, and then they moved, took over the spot there at the Crossroads Hotel and Convention Center. And so they do a good burger for that battle. And,
so when the state fair's in town, do you have to like show up and show a cow or?
Well, no, I don't do that. I spend a lot of time at the state fair.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
You know, I spend a lot of time in the Republican building. You know that. You know that's our the Beadle County Republican Party spends a lot of time making sure that building is kept up and staffed. And so I spend time there, and then I spend time with my kids. I love bringing them out there, and they love. Going out there riding the rides.
Okay, so you're not a big burger fan, but favorite state fair food?
Oh, favorite state fair food? Man. There's so many good ones to pick from. Am I going to like a sandwich? Probably like a steak pita. Although, you know, I think that particular stand didn't come back this last year.
It's got it mapped.
Well, it was because I worked for the guy back in high school.
Oh, okay.
And he made the best steak sandwiches and steak pitas, and I would go there every year. But since I was in high school a while ago, you can tell he's probably getting on the older side. He finally retired.
Hey, side hustle.
I know. Maybe I should
start doing steak sandwiches.
That's right. You know, it was great.
Like how you know how David Johnson's the tree guy. You could be like the fried steak sandwich guy.
Nick Kocek was the kolache guy.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. You know, no, I don't want to burn myself with doing food prep all the time during the state fair. I want to be out there with my kids. But you know, you gotta love a corn dog.
Oh yeah. I mean, oh yeah.
A corn dog. You gotta love a funnel cake out there.
I have such an embarrassing thing to admit. I've never been to the South Dakota State Fair.
Really?
We're gonna have to do that this year. Live from here on.
Live.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be a great time.
Like, is there a free stage we could?
Well, there is.
Take over, kick some karaoke kids off or something.
Yeah.
Move the magician for a night or whatever.
We can. There are some free stages out there. I'm sure if you want to get a live taping of, you know, the Dakota Town Hall.
That's a great idea.
I think
we'll need a state fair. We're knocking down some rides.
Wait, when is the state fair?
Labor Day.
Yeah, it's a weekend. It's the week ending Labor Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I know the state fair is cool and all, but there's a little event out west called the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally.
Oh, what? What?
I've never heard of it. You guys have ever heard of that before. So, no. You know.
It's a rally?
It's a big rally. And, you know, I'll see your fair food and raise you rally food. That's my only point.
I've never been to the rally. So that's...
Get out of here.
So that's kind of... Yeah.
Listen, the Odd Couple tour, baby.
There we go. State fair and rally.
He is a senator from District 22 and the majority whip in the Senate, Mr. David Wheeler. Thanks for coming on, man.
We appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Dakota Town Hall will be right back after a quick word from our partners.
Rapid City Business Journal, a weekly show from Home Slice Audio, focusing on the business topics inside of the Black Hills, in partnership with Elevate Rapid City and Home Slice Audio, hosted by Leslie Lane and Shiloh Francis.
And now back to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's premier political podcast.
Okay, so is he going to get Dean Wink?
Yes.
Because apparently Dean Wink was a professional football player.
He's a professional football player, yes.
Do you know this?
I did know this, yes.
Okay.
I can't remember who he played for.
Dean's like in my backyard. This is like something I feel like I should know.
Yeah, you probably should.
Also coming up on the show, we're going to have Katie Washnock, District 3 Senate candidate.
I thought it was 1. Is it the same as... No, because that's Roll. Roll's 1.
I think it's her and Perry, yeah?
And that yep, three. That's right. Is that 3?
Boy, you can tell when we don't have, we sound a little smarter when we can Google things.
Oh,
don't we?
Yeah. Yep. Like, oh, it's my iPad. I can't touch my iPad.
No, you guys are going to find out how dumb we are. Dang it.
No, they already are well aware.
Northeast Senate candidate Katie Washnack is going to come on the show. Also, the glorious return of Mr. Lee Schoenbeck, finally. We haven't had him on yet this session.
And he is coming in right now. He's bringing one of our guests now.
Okay, so we're about to find this out. Hey, Dean, how you doing? Have a seat, man. We're recording. I can't believe I didn't know this. You were a professional football player.
Yes, I graduated from Yankton College in 1966. I was not a very good football player in high school. I was tall, skinny. 6'1", 160 was a freshman in college.
Whoa, beanpole.
And then I got on a weight program, lifting weights. I did it for 4 years. I was the only one in the weight room for 4 years, but I went from 6'1", 160 to 6'4", 260.
Holy buckets.
And you stretch yourself out a little bit?
My junior and senior year, I started getting some awards for all conference and that kind of stuff. I got the attention of they had these guys that go around, they would represent 4 or 5 different NFL teams. And the guy's name was Fido Murphy.
Fido Murphy.
That's a great name.
He came to Sioux Falls, and we met him, my college coach, and I met him in some motel room and so on. So he's talking about, we're interested at the Eagles, and there's a few other ones looking for defensive linemen. And
D-line, not like, okay, D-line.
Defensive line.
Hmm.
That was when you could play defensive line at 260. Now you got to be 360 or something.
That's what made me think, like, I thought maybe like receiver or tight end.
I was a tight end, and I went both ways in college.
Okay.
And I tell people that was me playing basketball and playing tight end helped me make it play defensive tackle in the pros, because a lot of those guys are bigger and stronger and they bull rush and so on, but not a lot of them can run.
So did you get drafted? No.
I was a free agent.
Free agent.
So Fido says, best we can do is $10,000 and a signing bonus of $1,500. And I was all ready to jump on it and say, yeah. My college coach says, now wait a minute now. There's other people wanting him. You know, the Canadian Football League wants him. That's when the NFL and the AFL were still separate.
Oh, okay, sure. Oh,
so he's trying to talk me up. And Fido says, let me go out in the hall and make a phone call. I don't know if he made a phone call or not. You know, 5 minutes later, he comes back. He says, okay, it's going to be tough, but I mean, it's going to offer you $12,500 and $1,700 in signing bonus. I says, I'll take it before my coach even talk. So I went to summer camp in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you were an Eagle then.
I was an Eagle.
Okay, so how many seasons?
They paid me for 4 years.
No kidding.
I was, I went to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and things have so changed, so much now. They put us in the YMCA. No air conditioning.
That's
it was,
quite
100
a difference.
Degrees. And Hershey, Pennsylvania is where they make Hershey chocolates.
Yeah.
And they use the cocoa beans in their flower beds around. So you can smell Hershey, Pennsylvania from 5 miles away. I couldn't eat chocolate for 5 years after.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So I was a backup, but they put me. They used to call it the taxi squad. Now they call it. It changes names,
sure.
But basically it's reserves. You know?
Like, do you have a football card?
That's when they had football cards, but you had to be a star.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Joe Namath or whatever, you know. And now, if you just make the team, you get a card. But, yeah. But I was just talking to Representative Koth, who I'm in appropriations with. He got me yesterday, and he said, my grandson. He said, I was telling you about him. And he says, really? He said, do you have a card? And I said, well, they gave us these.
Look at this! Wow!
Look at that.
Handsome Dean Wing. What year is this?
I would have been 66.
Lady Killer.
Yeah.
Philadelphia
wow.
Eagle. This is so cool,
team,
man.
The team,
64.
The teams give us those for postcards because you get, you know, people asking for your autograph. And so, well, I keep some here because of the pages and the audio.
Yeah.
And the interns, you know, they get a kick out of it.
I would do that too.
Yeah,
so, hey, wait, I got to give you a couple of things about Dean. First off, when you say Lady Killer,
I'm amazed
you
were able to stay quiet.
That was,
I've ever been in a room with you and you hadn't said anything.
He did marry the cheerleader from Yankton College and is still married to Joan, who's a great lady, just got off the Board of Regents.
Yeah.
And you got to tell him about the Lyle Alzado connection.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so they paid me for 4 years. They activated me for two or something like that. And I started a couple of games when people got hurt and so on, you know. And then I screwed up my shoulders. And so I said, I got to find a different line of work. So Yankton College offered to sign me up as a defensive coach.
This is before it was a prison.
Yeah, before it was a prison. So some would say it was a little bit like that. Yeah. And so I went back. I was a defensive coordinator or defensive coach. And there was a man, a young fellow there by the name of Lyle Alzado. He was a senior my first year back. He was a great, you know, athlete. He was big, strong, tough. And they had tried him at fullback. They had tried him at middle linebacker. They had, you know. And so they said, where do you want him? I said, let's just put him at defensive end. And he was one of the biggest, the first of the big fast guys. I mean, you know, when they came to check him out, and the pros came, you know, they'd do a 40-yard dash in the gym and so on, you know, and then they'd look at that and they'd go, let's try that again. he could run about 4-5.
Didn't trust it? 4-5, the end. Back then.
Yeah. So anyhow, the first few days, and he just wanted to talk football all the time. I said, let me show you a move. Deacon Jones of the Rams uses it. It's not a bull rush, you know. It's you just slap them alongside of the head, distract them, grab their opposite side shoulder or whatever, you know, and you go around them. You know, you just kind of get them to hesitate just enough so you can go around them. So I show him that, and 2 days later he comes out. He's got tape wrapped.
He's got my little boxing glove in.
Lyle was a Golden Gloves boxer back in his home state.
I didn't know that.
Of New York. He was, I think he was runner-up in AAU. Or
so, yeah, like already had a cross. This move was going to work.
You know, for most of it was a head slap. And for Lyle, it was a right cross.
The story gets better.
And so we scrimmaged here in college one time before the, you know, just as a warm-up for both of us. And pretty soon there, after about, you know, 10 minutes, their offensive tackle goes over to their coach. He says, Coach, Don't put me back in there. He says, the guy's going to kill me.
That is awesome.
And if you watched Lyle when he was in his heyday with the Denver Broncos, he was number four draft choice.
He was an animal.
And he would just punnel, you know, and this is when it was legal, you know. And I'd see these guys, they just drop to the ground. And eventually they made it illegal because, and it's called the Lyle Alzado rule. Because.
So Senator Wink created the most vicious rule in football that they had to outlaw.
I like it.
And Lyle, I don't know if you know much about Lyle, but at one time he was won the defensive player of the year in the NFL. He was tough. He was good.
And he was at Yankton College.
He was at Yankton
College. I had no idea.
And he'd call up on a Friday or a Saturday. He says, Coach, can I come over and talk football? Yeah, come on over. So they'd come over. We'd talk football for a while, and Joan and I would go out and said, Lyle, can you stay here? We had a daughter that was 2 or 3 years old at the time. You want to babysit for a little bit while Joan and I go have a glass of wine? Sure, Coach. Yeah, what the heck? So we'd go out, you know, and an hour later he'd come back. He'd be sleeping on the couch. My daughter's still playing out there. You know? And we've got pictures of he with her and so on. It was really something. He was a hell of a guy.
I had no idea we were going to learn this today. I appreciate that, Lee. Thanks a lot, man.
But he got into steroids.
Yeah.
When I played, we had uppers and lowers. You know, you had the red pills to get ready for the game and the blue ones to settle you down after the game. Steroids was just kind of talk at that
Sure.
point. Well, Lyle got it, and he was 1970, I think. And that's what he got on him. And, you know, they also make you more aggressive. Lyle didn't need to be more aggressive. but he was on it for like 12 years, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
He was with the Broncos, and then he went with Cleveland for a couple of seasons, and it was a terrible time. And then he went with
Chargers?
And then he went with the Raiders.
Raiders.
So he was the perfect personality.
That's right. Yeah. Raiders. Yeah, that's a Raider, Raiders. Yeah. Of course, Raiders. Raiders.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So he was, you know, so he extended another 3 or 4 years, you know, playing for the Raiders and so on. So, and then he got brain cancer, and he thinks it's from all the steroids. But who knows? But it was too bad.
That's how you know everybody was so much tougher back then, the way Senator Wink casually goes, you know, back in our day, we had the red pills to get ready for the game and the blue pills to calm down.
Yeah. For young people listening, who's kidding?
Well, just kind of take it for granted. Oh, wow,
he's not running again. You can say that.
Yeah, right. That's how you know, right? So how's your session been?
Good. It's cranking up now. You know, the first few weeks while we have agency bills, and it's kind of a, you know, updates on language and so on. But now we're getting into some controversial bills. The 201 yesterday
had some good pipelines,
some good debate on that and so on. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting last couple of weeks.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your time.
Senator, I'd like you to sign that quick for you.
Yeah, please, me too. Absolutely. That's super cool.
They've never asked me to sign anything. I never would.
Dakota Town Hall will be right back after a quick word from our partners.
Get ready, Rapid City, for another epic journey into the world of whiskey at Mountain West Whiskey Festival, the unrivaled celebration in South Dakota. Immerse yourself in the flavors of over 150 exceptional whiskeys, from classics to rare finds. Elevate your senses with upscale catering and groove to live music in the heart of downtown at the Rushmore Hotel. This is not just an event, it's an experience. Secure your spot now at MountainWestWhiskeyFestival.com, because whiskey legends are made in the Black Hills.
And now back to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's premier political podcast.
Double Schoenbeck.
In person, too.
One of my favorite times of the show when we have Lee and Jake on together.
And here comes Katie Washburn.
I'm getting out northeast.
Yeah, really. Right now. East River now is taking over.
Hey, it is Aberdeen Day at the Capitol today.
What do we do at Aberdeen Day, do we?
We celebrate Aberdeen and did all of...
your guys' buddy Toby show up for Aberdeen
Day? Yeah, where's Toby?
Toby couldn't make it?
Oh, yeah. Toby didn't show up? Oh, that's right. You just talk about showing up. You don't actually show up. Oh, please wear that dumpster fire button.
I'm just wearing it now for Katie.
Perfect.
I mean, I've been trying to get one of those. Pat Power said he would make me one.
Senator Schoenbeck is wearing one of the Toby Doden dumpster fire political pins that Pat Powers put together.
So we only have Lee for a few moments. Let's get right to it. So it's hot to trot with the convention politics.
Things are happening in the Capitol right now. Ask away.
Nobody has screenshot any texts from you calling them stupid yet this session? Could you?
And I don't know why they're not screenshotting them. Doesn't mean they don't exist. I did notice a portrait or a picture over there with a text message in it.
Senator Troy Heinert tried to make a motion under what I thought was the wrong order of business, and I objected, and the LT sustained me. And then I thought, God, I don't know. I mean, that almost makes sense what he was doing. So I went and found out, and they said, yeah, that's another way you could do it. It's not exactly right, but it's right. And so I got up on the floor the next day and said, look, I got to tell you, I was wrong about that. Senator Heinert was correct. He transcribed that and then framed it. And so I have in my office.
Only time you've ever been wrong,
the
right?
One time I thought
Troy was right.
Oh, okay.
A lot of you listeners might not know this, but Lee also on Saturday mornings acts as the editor of sorts of corrections and things we have to...
He's our fact checker.
He's our fact checker of sorts.
So, Session, it's, as we heard from Senator Wink, it's heating up. It's heating up now, and certainly the convention bill is back with a vengeance. Number 13, Senate 13. Bill 13.
Yeah, we had that on the floor the day before yesterday to take Lieutenant Governor out of the convention. The governor picks him. Take the Attorney General and Secretary of State out and let the voters decide.
In a primary,
yeah. Where they're already going to the ballot to vote. 130,000 Republicans, probably 50,000 Democrats. So it expands by, you're talking about letting 170,000 South Dakotans decide instead of
800.
I could see a Cracker Barrels, and everybody that's had one could tell you it's extremely popular with the people when you say to them, would you like to decide?
But that's the Cracker Barrel audience. I'm just saying. I've been to a Cracker Barrel.
I don't think you could find a group except if you had the the political bosses of the 800 that currently vote. They might say, no, don't let everybody else vote. But I think you pick any crew. You can go to Walmart, grab the first 50 people. In fact, Senator Roll did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Walked through the Walmart here in Pierre. Which I personally think if you start doing that, security is going to get called before you get very far into it. But
Lee Strubinger on his Short Walk podcast, episode 9, made a really good point that, he was saying how, it's because it's just a Republican majority state, it's basically 800 people that choose who's our AG, who's Secretary of State, and there's no one voting for it, basically. It's 800. Because the general doesn't matter that much.
For the average listener out there, you're in a precinct with another 1,000 people or something, and whoever's the precinct committee man and woman who you don't know who they are, they're the ones that are casting your votes for you, and they certainly aren't asking you for your advice about how they ought to vote. And so what happens is you get these weird aberrations that Steve Haugard runs for governor against Kristi Noem.
Weird aberration.
In his home county, he gets something like 25% of the vote. Kristi Noem gets 75%.
I did see you got poll quoted on that from a couple articles.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, Haugard tries to take out the other half of the Noem Road and ticket, and the delegates from Minnehaha County that have just said, we don't want this guy from our county on the statewide ballot, the voters have, then two-thirds of the delegates from Minnehaha County said, no, that's the guy we want. Kick out Kristi.
I was in the other third, just so we're clear. The other third.
And this conversation is happening, I'm on Zooms with groups of Republicans across the state where you look at Pennington, you look at Aberdeen, you look at Minnehaha and Yankton, the traditional historical county Republican function isn't with the party. Often.
Yeah, the people won't go to those events anymore. But so anyway, what's going on in the legislature about it is we amended Senate Bill 13 in state affairs to do what I just described. Came out of there unanimously, 9-0. Came to the floor. There was first an effort to table it that was defeated. Then they wanted to amend it. There were two different amendments. Those were both defeated. And then we passed it out of the Senate to the House. And I would say on each of those, I could look in my notes, but there's about 21 or 22 senators held together through all four of those votes. Now it's over in the House, and it's not clear, whether the House will, what they'll do with that bill. There's also, depending on what happens there, there are what are called vehicle bills, which are just titles that you can amend. And we've got four of them sitting in the House State Affairs, Senate State Affairs. They have four in the House State Affairs. One of those could easily be that subject reincarnated again, too. It's going to be around until the end of session.
Quick thing, those vehicle bills, where do those come from? How do those, are they bills that are killed and, explain that to the audience a little bit.
Okay, so,
aren't they placeholder bills?
Yeah, they are. So what happened is, when I first came here in 95 and 96, and you had an idea after the bill deadline, you'd have to go find in a committee a bill that had a title that looked kind of close, take it off the table and amend it on it and give it new life. So in the 90, and I think that it was in the 97 session, so when I was not back that year, and I think it was Dave Knutson, who was the majority leader that year, started the process of you take a bill and you put a title that says Better Education for South Dakota, so pretty broad, and you do it one on each side. Well, initially it wasn't this way, but now each side the leaders have, and we typically four bills, economic development, education, two others, maybe make South Dakota great again. I don't know. Broad titles that you can use for about anything. And the what you have to do is you have to have an agreement that when we send you those four, which can be new missile opportunities, you have to send us four. So they happen on almost the same day. There has to be a certain level of trust that it's going to happen. Well, now both sides have got, and they typically go to their state affairs committee, which is made up of the leadership in their respective house. So now they've got four, you know, blank missiles sitting there that they can turn into any bill that they can get their side to approve.
Mort's missiles.
Yeah, and when those come back, so like take a bill that we, one of our vehicle bills, so we sent it out of the Senate, they're almost always unanimous going over, it's sitting in House State Affairs. If House State Affairs amends that into something, when that comes back, that doesn't go to a committee now in the Senate.
That goes right to the floor.
Right to the floor for concurrence. And so it becomes a short circuit to the process as well, so it gets some controversy about that. But that's what those are. There's that right today, I think there's 8, and there might even be 2 appropriations vehicles sitting in each body. I can't remember.
And so, like, you'd be the prime sponsor on a bill you did not create, basically.
Well, those are all the leadership.
So it's all leadership. Okay. I was just curious.
Majority leader in both houses do it. Mm-hmm. And the minority doesn't get to do it. You don't give them assist. Plus, they couldn't pass them anyway. They'd have to have a majority vote to turn them into anything.
What else we got?
What else is going on? I mean, you got the optometrists here today? They're all up in arms.
What on earth could the optometrists be mad about?
Well, they're actually not necessarily mad.
They're more up
they
in
are
eyes.
What?
They're really not armed people. So what happens? And for your listeners, that some of the most controversial votes that legislators make have to do with what's called scope of practice, which I had never heard of until I came to the legislature. And it typically involves the medical association, where when you get a medical license, your scope is so broad you can do feet, eyes, back, noses, all of it. And then you have these other groups, especially in rural South Dakota, which is everything that's not Sioux Falls and Rapid, where all these other practices have developed and they actually have people, optometrists, physical therapists.
Massage therapists went through this a few years ago.
Probably.
Remember, yeah.
They might well be fighting with the chiropractors and the physical therapists.
Yes.
I mean, so it depends which group is lined up. But in the eye area, the medical doctor in the eye area is the ophthalmologist, which there are very few of in South Dakota. Then the other people that have a medical training, but they're not a medical doctor, but they're called doctors as well, are the optometrists, which are all over South Dakota. And so when I first was here, and the reason scope of practice issues are controversial and actually hard for legislators is it's just moving money. You say, these people are getting all the money doing that work.
Yep.
Now we're going to let these people have
get some of the money.
The biggest ones historically were chiropractors fighting with medical doctors. But it's moving money. And when you get elected to the legislature, you campaign on. You're going to be asked about gun control, abortion, education funding. Nobody's going to say to you, what do you think on scope of practice?
I'd like to know what you think about scope of practice with optometry before I'm voting for you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so it's something that nobody in your district cares about except the people whose money is moving either from them or to them.
And they're passionate about it.
And they're passionate
obviously
about it. And they're really passionate if it's something that really affects them financially. But what has happened now more so is I think the medical association kind of feels like they're getting kicked all the time because nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and chiropractors. And so they push back a little harder, maybe even but more out of indignation. So here now you have the optometrists and there's like 5 medical procedures. I can't remember the number. That they're in that bill that they say we're trained in that. We have more eye training than ophthalmologists.
When they show up and do they bring charts? Let us make money.
It gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah. So that bill is on the floor, I think, today.
Is that a House bill or Senate bill?
It's a House bill. It's been through the House, so it's on the Senate calendar. I think it's at the bottom of the debate calendar for House bills today. And it's probably a pretty close vote. We passed it last year and it died in the House. So I guess the foreshadow on that would be it's going to pass.
Right on.
I have before we let you go to you have caucus coming up. Don't want you to miss that. Couple things. One, Senator Wheeler said you need to turn your music down. You're blasting country music too loud.
I'd like to maybe add to your playlist a little.
I got a lot of Walker Hayes, Parmalee. Oh,
there you go.
And
so I forgot Walker
Hayes. Pretty good.
I jam it in the morning. Really, this is my Bose speaker. Really.
Yeah, he was commenting.
Other
that
people are jamming with you.
Yeah. Apparently, it gets out of the office.
I was just saying, everybody except Wheeler likes my music.
Maybe Wheeler seems to loosen up a little bit.
I know, right? And then
I'm tired of him too. He talks a lot.
Well, you know, you said you yell at him too, by the way.
I do.
I like that
because I have to yell over the music.
Jake, did you say welcome to my life?
I know. Yeah, right. I was like, this seems nothing new. And the other question we ask all of our guests, I think I know our answer to it though. What's the best burger in
Seattle? Oh, like that, like that's like not even hard.
It's easy. I know it's easy for you. It's the same one I have.
It's the garlic cheeseburger at the Prop in Watertown on Lake Compesca. There's no better burger you can buy.
Hands down.
The garlic cheeseburger at the Prop.
So yes. Good.
Yep.
Next time you're in Watertown,
it's a lot of people have a double, but that's a lot. I can't eat a double.
And then you always get the tall beer, right?
No, you never get the tall beer. Problem with the tall beers, I just said
they get too warm.
Yeah, but I mean, who drinks that fast? A camel, but you know,
it's 64 ounces, I think.
I don't know about
it. It's huge.
I don't care where you go.
Like, it's massive.
If you go to Louis, the only reason you order the big jar of beer is because you want to get the coupon that eventually you get free one when you drink.
Good point.
If you buy eight
good
big point. Ones, yep. But if you buy the eight big ones, you're only going to drink half of all eight of them. So the free one you're getting is less than you paid for that you didn't drink.
You always pay for mine, so I don't really. It doesn't really bother me.
So never the tall beers and the garlic cheeseburger.
Garlic cheeseburger at the Prop.
And it's famous.
It really is. Yeah, you got to put a dollar up on the
I just don't, and, you know, with these Watertown dudes, you just don't know what famous, Watertown famous is a phrase.
South Dakota's rising star.
He mentioned the dollar on the ceiling. Have you got time for one story?
We got all the time. Yeah.
This is a great story.
Easily, you could be late for caucus. I don't care.
Yeah, I was like, when we have time, we just...
I got to tell you this story. So the Prop has all these dollar bills on the ceilings. People write their name, put the dollar bills on the ceiling. Or they put their business cards. A lot of business cards up there. And you maybe have heard of Dana Dykhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Premier Bank. And you know the story.
Yeah.
And Miles Beacom, the
Premier
president
Bank, that one?
Of Premier Bank card. Cool. So a guy named Scott Peterson used to be the head of the Premier Bank in Watertown, and Scott's a little bit wound tight. And he goes to Dana Dykhouse and says, Dana, I have to complain that, I can't remember, Tommy, I can't think of his last name, his dad was a four-star general. It was one of the, Hanlon, Tommy Hanlon. He said, Tommy Hanlon put his business card up on the ceiling at the Prop in Watertown, and I just think that's inappropriate. And so Dana goes over to Miles and says, hey, Miles, Peterson complained. Apparently, Tommy put, you know, his business card on the First Premier Bank on the ceiling at the Prop in Watertown. And Miles, I'll handle this. And I have now heard this story from Hanlon, from Miles, and Dana, so I know it's true. So Miles brings Hanlon into his office. He says, Scott Peterson complained. You put your business card on the ceiling at the Prop in Watertown. And Tommy Hanlon is this great Irish. He goes, I didn't. Miles, I didn't. I put your business card on
the True story. That's fantastic.
I better go to work.
All right.
We'll see you on the floor.
He's Senate Pro Temp Lee Schoenbeck, another Schoenbeck Power Grab.
In his last session here in Pierre.
Dakota Town Hall will be right back after a quick word from our partners.
Hi, I'm Mark Houston, the host of Doc Talk with Monument Health.
So endometriosis is a gynecologic condition where the lining of the uterus, which is what's called the endometrium, that same type of tissue implants in other places in your abdomen.
This is always kind of a weird way to phrase it too, but I think of like a human diet. And so I don't mean eating humans, please don't eat humans, but like every animal in the world has its diet, right?
So if you cut yourself and if you didn't clot, you would bleed out.
Doc Talk from Monument Health, wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's premier political podcast.
All right. Well.
Hi.
Katie.
Last but not least.
Hello.
Thanks for waiting for us.
Technically, originally, you guys said be here at 1. It is 1 o'clock on the dot.
Then an hour ago, it said you'd come here now, too. It's a little bit of a train wreck.
There were 100 third and fourth graders singing in the Capitol Rotunda from Aberdeen, South Dakota today. Fun fact, 25 years ago. I'm not ashamed to say that. That was me. I was that little kid.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You did the Aberdeen Children's Choir?
Oh, yes. Of course I did.
What did they sing?
They started off with a tear-jerking rendition of the National Anthem. A little, you know, God bless America.
Boy, are you running for office.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
I wouldn't even go that far. I'm running for
office. It was good. But then they capped it off with Fly Me to the Moon.
That's pretty good.
All right.
That's
pretty good. A little hip.
I was like, this is snazzy, and I'm jealous because we didn't get to sing anything this fun.
What did you sing?
You know, we also did the national anthem, mm. God Bless America, and I think we had to sing like...
Carry On My Wayward Son or something.
No, oh, no, that would have been great. I think ours was like, Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Oh, yeah. Like that. Mm.
Let There Be Peace in Aberdeen.
Yeah, well,
district, we... Yeah. We're learning something when we do these shows and we can't Google stuff to sound smarter. Mm. District 3?
District 3.
Oh, you
Brown
did it.
County,
you
got
it.
District 3.
Brown County is technically District 1, 3, and 23.
And it's not number 2. You know where number 2 is?
Yep. It's
down
you.
By me.
Down by you. That's
me.
Right.
That's you. That's because
true.
Do you know how many people I've had be like, who the hell is this Schoenbeck kid? Is it Schoenbeck moved his kid to Aberdeen to run? I was like, no. Is down here.
There are still Schoenbecks up near you, though.
Yeah,
there are.
Yes.
There's a Schoenbeck Park.
Can't get rid of these Schoenbecks.
Yes. You know?
Very true.
So, candidate for District 3 Senate. You've got probably one of the most talked about, covered races. Certainly is being described as what's the Republican Party look like of the future?
Not to put too
Too grand of a spin on it.
It's a pretty grand spin on it.
No pressure,
don't screw
right?
it up.
Don't screw it up. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't the intent here, but I mean, it was an open seat when I jumped in, but here we go.
So tell everybody about yourself. I know Katie, by the way, as a West River person.
I always make this very tongue in cheek joke that like I go both ways. I was actually born in Winter, and we moved
really?
To Aberdeen. Yeah. We moved to Aberdeen when I was like 18 months old. My mom took a job with Northern and lived in Aberdeen until I was 16. And just in case your 16-year-old daughter isn't angry enough already, you should move her 400
yes.
miles across the state to Whitewood, South Dakota. Population 900, counting all cats, dogs, and horses.
Is it 900 people? Why is it 300-something?
900, they claim. I mean, I haven't counted, but...
In Elsister, there's a sign that says home of 750 friendly people, and like they're counting at least 300.
They gotta keep scratch that number down too, you know.
Sorry, so 16 back in Whitewood.
True rural America. We really have to take all the everything we can get.
Speaking of good burgers, the Bullwhacker Burger.
The Bullwhacker
in Whitewood.
Oldest bar in South Dakota.
It's pretty cool.
It is.
So you made your way back
to Aberdeen because I married a farmer. And they tell me that, you know, farms are hard to move. I married a kid I went to daycare with.
Really?
Yeah. James and
you
I.
You and James have known each other since daycare?
Yep. He was mean to me then. Now I'm mean to him.
I like that a lot.
Yep.
James and I have become like meme Instagram buddies.
Send memes back and forth?
Yeah.
He's so jealous that I'm here right now.
Is he?
He's at the Capitol Visitor Center with the kids.
Oh, bummer. I told him that he should join our unofficial hangout. You guys should. We're going to Red Rosa it up tonight.
Oh, we'll be there.
In the unofficial Dakota Town Hall hangout.
We got a babysitter. We will be
oh,
there.
Right. You guys are ready to go. Getting after it.
Thanks to Nicole Barnett, we have a peer babysitter.
Nice.
So what are the big issues up in Aberdeen? I mean, what are people talking? There's been some Cracker Barrels. What are people talking
there
about?
There have been some Cracker Barrels. Obviously, the pipeline.
Yeah.
The pipeline
oh, that
really
thing?
Is where this
one.
Comes home, right?
Truly, yeah. Truly. I mean, Brown, McPherson, and Spink are kind of, I mean, they're the three counties that are truly fighting this pipeline issue and kind of fighting both ways. You know, obviously, it has its opposition in Brown County, but there's been a contingency of, you know, economic development professionals and people in that realm who have really come out to champion the pipeline too. So we have our final Cracker Barrel in Brown County in Aberdeen on Saturday, and I think it might get a little interesting.
Hmm.
Our other huge issue in Aberdeen has been water.
Sure.
The city of Aberdeen.
That's right. You guys have a whole thing going on,
don't you? We're out of water. You can't build a new house in Aberdeen right now. You can't bring in a business right now. Like, we are completely tapped.
No kidding.
Pun intended.
So why? What's the root cause of that?
Well, I'm not to throw...
There's water everywhere up in Aberdeen.
Right, I know. Not to throw the older, wiser generation out the window, but, you know, 25 years ago, Webb came to the city of Aberdeen and said, we would like to provide, you know, whichever way it went, we would like to provide water for the city of Aberdeen. Would this be possible? And they ended up getting kind of in a pissing match, and it fell through and didn't work. And now our city aquifers are tapped, and we can't expand. And in turn, also Webb can't expand because they needed a new line in. And so, you know, a couple of years ago, we said, this should be a possibility. Let's come back together. Let's come back to the table. and find new ways for water. And so bringing in a new line from the Missouri River to Aberdeen is kind of the goal, the WINS project. The city of Aberdeen has negotiated this. They've kind of, it looks like it's going to come to fruition. And we just need more money, you know, just that little thing, that little problem of needing more money. And so that's where the state comes into the play and ARPA funds and federal funding. But it looks as if there's a shining light at the end of the tunnel, and we're going to come out with some more water, hopefully. So,
what else is, I was in Aberdeen a few months back, and I guess it had been a number of years since I'd been to Aberdeen, and I was just amazed how much money had been poured into downtown Aberdeen.
Truly.
I mean, millions.
Aberdeen has had a huge downtown resurgence. You know, there was kind of the, Aberdeen is a very old, we're an old community, and we're proud of that. And, you know, there's history there, but in that same turn, you still have to keep moving forward. And I think it's kind of our grandfathers of industry within Aberdeen kind of looked at the downtown and said, geez, why would any young people want to come here? You know, it's vacant buildings and the one remaining strip club in town. And that's where we have to give Toby Doden props. He bought the strip club and closed it. Thanks. Thank you, Toby.
That's your buddy, right?
Yeah. we haven't actually met. Everybody's always like, oh, I was Toby Doden. I'm like, I've actually never met him.
He only exists on Facebook.
I've never met him.
That's where he's strongest.
I mean.
That's funny.
I've never actually met him. The Aberdeen Economic Development Corporation had told me last year about this time, like, yeah, we've got like 6 new restaurants coming to downtown. And I was like, you're lying to me. And 3 have opened thus far.
That's good.
So we're well on our way. Downtown Aberdeen is going to be a party. And I mean, you look at places like Rapid City's downtown, Sioux Falls downtown.
Watertown.
I'm not going to say it, Jake.
Do you have a downtown? What do you do?
Yeah, it's got a great downtown. It's 2 breweries. Same amount of breweries are in Aberdeen, by the way.
Hey,
same per
it.
Capita.
Oh, I will say, my last swing through downtown Watertown was pretty heavy.
It's a good time.
Yeah. So we're just following that curb, and it's truly, I mean, you never see as many northern students around town as you do when you come downtown, so it's exciting. You got fun things going on.
Aberdeen, historically, it's called Hub City, right? It's a 200-year-old railroad community, right? Does this Amtrak stuff coming through affect Aberdeen one way or the other, or is that a completely different set of, because it's industry and commercial and stuff?
No, I think that there's possibility and a little bit of excitement. I know that they've kind of been focusing, you know, statewide, media-wise, has been focusing more on, like, what it could do for Rapid City, what it could do for tourism in the Black Hills, but I think Aberdeen would love to get in on that.
Unfortunately, I think right now the maps kind of were south of Aberdeen, I believe. I think it was Sioux Falls, and it might have gone up to Pier, actually.
My kid would love to ride the train, though. So I will advocate for Amtrak.
Andrew Tom's a train fan as a kid.
Oh, yes.
Just add a little Aberdeen, you know. It just seems so insane to not include a good chunk of why South Dakota was able to grow as a state because of Aberdeen's rail system and regional, you know, wealth that came out of that nearly 2 centuries ago.
Yep.
So what is the other Cracker Barrel hot topics as you get cooking?
You know, we've kind of hit the pipeline's been the big one. They've tapped our current legislators on kind of the whole grommet of issues. The convention versus primary format has come up.
You guys are Ford Theater.
Yes,
Brown
yes,
County.
Brown County is great. Also, as I sit next to Lee and he talks about these party bosses, I mean, technically, I'm also serve as the chairman of the Brown County Republicans. So I get kind of both sides of this, and it's hard for me. I mean,
yeah, what did Austin call you last week? Not a monster? How did he phrase that? Did
like
he,
that. Yeah,
Katie's
that
up in Aberdeen, and she's not a monster?
I just want everybody to get along. Can everybody just get along? And that's kind of been my role, is like, where the party's still going to stay unified over my dead body. So we're all going to play nice in the sandbox. We will make it through the primary, and then you guys can throw dirt, but throw it at the left, not over here, okay? So leave our sandbox alone.
You want to stick around for a new candidate roundup?
Oh, of course.
I don't think we have too many. I know one off the top of my head. Friend of the show, he rudely did not announce when he was on his show 2 weeks ago.
Didn't I thought he kind of did, didn't
did,
he? Didn't Tyler say he was going to be running?
Did he?
And I think it was one of those instances where we're not listening near as much as we think we are.
And he said, yeah, I'm running. But
hardly ever happens.
He did officially announce on our show, actually, now I think about it. Maybe he did. I take all that back.
So, Mr. Torreson, District, what is he? Where's Tyler at? It's
14. District 14 House, that's serving with, he's kind of serving with Taylor Rehfeldt over there. This is my neighbor district. I live really close to them. I get their mailers. I'm that close.
Seen the new the new libertarian candidate for Sioux Falls City Council?
No.
Is he some kid in a cowboy? I can't remember his name. This is rude. It's some kid in a cowboy hat, and his website is hilarious. and it's hard to define, but he thinks he's not a big fan of Paul Ten Haken.
Mm.
Oh.
And he likens him to Nancy Pelosi.
That is an interesting
take. It was so strange. There's like weird things from the extreme left and weird things from the extreme right on this guy's website. I can't remember his name. Everything's neon, and he's wearing a cowboy hat. You got to go Google whatever this kid's name is. It is, you know how we had a little fun with the, who is that dude running for city council who looks like he opens for fish?
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to remember his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
The
Democrat running.
Meaner Andrew Tate version of that. It looks like, you know, this kid. This kid looks like he was really intently watched the Tucker Carlson interview with Putin, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of these guys.
Well, it's a short list of new candidate roundup. Katie, you've already announced you're well on your way. In campaigning, and are your petitions in yet? Did you get them?
Actually, my petitions are being turned in today. I
mean, well
I brought,
done.
Time is legal.
I brought my kids to the Capitol just so they could
you.
Come.
You know, I on that note, I grew up in the Capitol. I mean, yes. I was bottle fed on the Senate floor by
yep.
Senator Halverson. I mean, the blue tiles, search mm-hmm. for blue tiles as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I love when legislators bring their kids and let them enjoy and experience this. And
although didn't love the Aberdeen Children's Choir, quite the juxtaposition.
I was gonna go there. I don't. Okay, I don't like children's choirs.
We can cut this out, by the way.
I just don't. I don't know. They're not going to sing.
You are running the house. What are you thinking right now? Children's choirs.
I go to 11 a.m. mass, and it's a children's mass. And unfortunately, the kids are singing.
What are you doing?
And I know. Oh, I'm just
votes,
digging. I'll stop digging that hole.
There's 80 families.
Yeah, we'll cut
that.
That
have kids who can't sing.
You love babies.
We're not cutting that out now.
I love babies.
Yeah.
Oh, but,
yeah.
You know, I just prefer, I like to talk to children. I just don't love singing.
I would like to thank all of our guests. Katie Washtag from Aberdeen running for District 3 Senate. David Wheeler, the District 22 Majority Whip. Dean Wink, professional football player. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah,
no,
for the
I'm
Eagles.
Really
look at this.
Jealous.
Look at that handsome fellow.
Yeah.
Look at that good-looking man.
How many years ago was that?
That was 67 maybe. Defensive line.
Okay. I mean, he's a big dude. Yeah.
Big dude.
Yeah. Oh, and sorry, Senator Schoenbeck. Okay, well, we get him all. Get him all.
God, we get.
Can't forget that
can't
guy.
Forget.
We're in his office.
In his office.
Yeah.
All right, this has been a lot of fun broadcasting from here from Jake in the East. I'm Murdoch in the West. Thanks for listening.
Have a great week.
Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly podcast. Episodes are available every Friday. For more information or to request availability, please go to dakotatownhall.com. Dakota Town Hall is presented in partnership with Home Slice Audio, produced by Leslie Klein. Music and audio production by Oakley Ty. Research by Home Slice Audio and Dakota Town Hall. Graphics by Timmy Grablander. Social media content by Scout Wheeler and website design by Trey Wynn. Editorial advisor and executive producer, Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Special thanks to all of our weekly guests. While we try to be accurate with all of our information, this show is recorded live and errors do occur. For corrections, please visit dakotatownhall.com. Hosted by Jake Schoenbeck and Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Dakota Town Hall, another Home Slice audio production.